Hey there, and welcome to Not Your Average Counsellor, the podcast that's here to shake up your perspective on life, love, relationships, and everything in between. I am your host, V. Vinci, and let me tell you, I am not your run-of-the-mill counsellor, and I'm on a mission to help you uncover the key to unlocking your fullest potential. You see, I've been around the block a few times, and I've probably gathered more life experience than four therapists put together. From battling a brain tumour, to divorce, marriage, grief, parenthood, and supporting my son come out the other side of a life-threatening illness, I've been through it all and then some. So I get my clients, I understand their pain, hurt, and challenges on a very deep level. But what truly sets me apart is my approach. I'm all about keeping it real, keeping it simple, and keeping it effective. Because complexity, well, that's the enemy of progress, and that's why I'm a firm believer in the KISS principle. Because let's face it, life is complicated enough already. This podcast is your passport to a more rewarding and simpler perspective on life. My aim is to help you understand the why that drives your thoughts and actions to create change, embrace growth, and create the life you truly want. So sit back, relax, and buckle up for some truth bombs, laughter, and a whole lot of inspiration. Let's dive in. Not Your Average Counsellor is rated PG. Parental guidance is definitely recommended. Welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Counsellor, the show where we explore strategies for personal and professional growth. Today is somewhat of a follow-up from our last episode, Preventing Burnout. Now we're going to delve into how to keep your inner fire burning without sizzling out. So why is this a follow-up? Well, if you have shit going on, it's way harder to keep everything together. So last session was about the what the fuck is going on. This one is about how the hell am I going to stay in that space and look after myself. All right. So we focused on life's experiences and turning them into ahas. And in that sense, this episode will help you keep the fire burning in the midst of any shit stick you get thrown. However, burnout itself is not always attached only to, you know, those major life events. Burnout happens as an almost slow burn in life generally, even if no major event is happening. Now, have a little think about that. When nothing is happening, we can still burn out. So I want this episode to cover both areas. If you have shit happening, or even if you don't, are you heading towards burnout? So let's start by introducing the concept of your inner fire. Think of it as your passion, your energy, your drive, the things that make you feel alive and motivated. Your inner fire represents your enthusiasm, your drive, and, you know, the zest you bring to life. Recognizing this is an important first step in preventing burnout. You know, sometimes you'll notice that we're all excited when something happens, and or when we start something new, when we're going along, we go, oh my god, this is great, and then all of a sudden it all gets a bit routine, same shit, different day. That's how we know when maybe we need to step back and do a few things for ourselves, because we've got to keep enjoying the things that we do. But we all know that the more you do something, the more likely it is to turn into a bit of a chore. I love my job, but don't get me wrong, I don't bounce out of bed every day with, oh my God, I'm going to see 7 clients today. I don't do that. Sometimes I'm like, oh my fucking God, I'm going to see 7 clients today. And I know though that that for me is a bit of a sign, because I also know that I absolutely love my job. So if I'm finding that I'm not loving getting up and going to work, then that's on me. It's not on you. That's on me. It's about me going, hang on, if my fire on the inside is starting to wane, then I need to go and do something to keep it alive. Totally opposite of what we need to do in the no fires in WA. Right, anyhow, so burnout is... Oh, well, I've just explained what I was about to talk about more. My little notes here tell me burnout is like a rain that douses your inner fire. So it leads to things like exhaustion and less motivation. Well, most people come into me with that little thing saying, I just aren't motivated anymore. And they'll often call it procrastination. But we know that procrastination is actually a bit of a survival response to a feeling of overwhelm. But when that starts to happen and when people start to feel that they're not motivated, it can be really devastating to a person. So it's really crucial to spot that as an early warning sign. Nurturing your inner fire involves lots of different strategies, and self-care is at the heart of it. Self-care is basically you engaging in activities that rejuvenate you and maintain a healthy work-life balance for you. Because in reality, there is no such thing as work-life balance, because your work and your life are totally different to mine, and what might balance mine may totally tip yours up on its end. So it is very personal in how we apply that. Often we look to reduce things with work or with life, but it's not about that. It's about finding what are the things in my life that I actually enjoy and trying to do a balance of those things so that you keep your fire burning, just like adding a little bit of wood. Now, self-care isn't a luxury. It is a necessity. It's about preserving your well-being to fuel your passions. That means, for me, intensely, that it shouldn't actually cost you a huge amount, which is why we often look at self-care being a luxury, because we've attached self-care to things we need to purchase. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go. But self-care is multifaceted in its approach to maintaining your inner fire. It involves getting enough sleep, managing stress, practicing mindfulness, all those things that we can apply to balancing out things in our life that have impacted. Often it's not just one thing that impacts us into feeling stressed or burning out. There's a whole shitload of things that impact us. And so I'd like to apply the same principle to there should be a whole load of things that help you maintain your well-being. So what I said, sleep, managing the stress, practicing the mindfulness, they're all just words. I'm going to give you some tips on what that actually looks like. Now, sometimes self-care is just taking a moment to take a deep breath and check in with yourself, asking yourself, what do I need at this very moment? So that's where you can start to preserve your well-being to fuel your passions. It's like recognizing you're on an empty tank and you better get to a fuel station, or you're just going to stop in the middle of the road somewhere. Now, I have two personal examples for you. Both occurred when shit was going down, but you'll get the gist of where I'm heading with this, because it doesn't necessarily mean things have to be going wrong. This is a way of being able to recognize, oh, what's happening for me when things are going wrong? But if I recognize them, I will probably notice when things are going wrong for me just in general. Okay? So we all know how I had a tumor, blah, blah. Now, when you as an individual are personally going through something, self-care is really super hard to do, but it's super vital. So knowing that you are in distress and that you have to look after yourself is a sign of adulthood, as opposed to, I know I'm going through stuff, I know I'm stressed, I know I have to look after myself, but I'm just going to go get shit-faced and forget about it. Yes, that old chestnut. The fact that you know and the choice to do is the tricky bit. Your brain is screaming, we are going to die. I don't want to sit and listen to a guided meditation. But that's the very thing we may need to do. It's got to be what suits you. But sometimes it's those things that actually suit us that we do need in those moments of distress. And it's about forcing yourself to put in place what you know is best for you. So back to the tumor. As an individual going through the trauma, then part of that process for me was checking in with my body and knowing when it was literally going to crash. I could feel it. I knew that I could feel this almost tingling that would start pretty much in my feet. And it was almost like how my fear showed itself. And it went, oh, we just can't cope with this. And it would be this tingle. And I got to know that I would feel that tingle literally working its way up through my body. And I realized after one or two outbursts that by the time that tingle was at my throat, I was just gonna let shit out. And if you listened to my last couple of podcasts and no anger, then it just all came out as anger. I hated everybody, I hated the world. Now, I obviously worked with a therapist and I managed to understand that I had around 24 hours before I felt the first tingle in my feet to when it actually got to my throat. That's how much I could understand where I was in that space. I really, really had to look at what was happening for me. Now, in that 24 hours, as soon as the tingle would started, I would basically make an appointment with my therapist. And within that 24-hour period, she was an incredibly generous woman that knew what was happening for me. And she pretty much got me in whenever I needed within a 24-hour space. And that's what I did. But it was up to me to know that. It wasn't up to anybody else to know what I needed at that point in time, because it would have been really hard, one, for me to verbalize it, and two, for them to even know how to help me. Because the reality of staying zen in the middle of stress is really bloody low. Zen is often not the aim. Self-care is about knowing what you need inside and out. Now, the outside bit can be easier than the inside bit. Others will often offer help for certain things, cooking, helping out with the kids or the house or anything. They often say to you, tell me what you need. And that's really tricky, because sometimes what you need is not, you don't know what you need, and so you get them mixed up. So often you'll hear people say, oh, well, you know, I really don't know. And that's because they don't know what they need on the inside. On the outside, what you need is to be supported along the way. It is those things like meals and cooking and all those little bits and pieces that you will need to manage your life. But often what we look for is for somebody else to help us manage the inside, and they just simply can't do that. The inside bit is the key to keeping your fire burning and to self-care. What do I need inside? Now, the answer at that point for me was to deal with the intense fear around the initial diagnosis that I had. I had to use my therapist to face the very thing that fear generally wants us not to do, and it would all generally get me to avoid or distract, but I had to face it with her. That is the self-care that is often needed when you are an individual going through something. The common link for trauma is fear. Everyone will have it, which makes it easy to recognize and manage. It's just that we don't like it, and quite honestly, it feels like shit. Again, welcome to adulthood. The fact is, if you can link trauma and fear as an equation and know that anytime you are in the middle of a situation, there is going to be fear present and that you need to manage it, that can be enough for you to know what's happening inside. So, another part of self-care is when you are watching someone else you care for in distress. Now, this is different because you are not the one going through it, but depending on the connection and the length of distress for the other person, it can play an intense role in your own self-care, which is your own internal fire. So the inside and out concept still occurs, but often the inside bit is dealing with sadness at watching someone you love in pain, and there's fear of losing them. It's a little bit different to when you're experiencing it for yourself. This is where you can add in traditional self-care models like mindfulness. Honestly, When my son was diagnosed with his cancer, I used self-care methods that were different to when I had my own diagnosis. And I think this can make it hard for people to understand what self-care is. And the answer is that it's different for everyone and the space you are in. Being aware of the difference, though, is what makes the difference. When my son was diagnosed, I literally went to bed with a man called Jason every single night. And if you know me at all, my husband's name is not Jason. Jason is Jason Stevenson, and I still to this day use his guided meditations to help me with anxiety if it shows up. The best thing to drown out an internal voice is an external one. Jason does it with flair and what he terms sleep hypnosis. He wants you to go to sleep. I love that man, right? That is something that was really important for me to use. And I still know to this day, when I am burning out, even with work, I still take that man to bed every night. Now, sitting in my car for 5 minutes in the sun before I actually get out of it is one of my most favorite 5 minute self-care routines ever. I use it now, I used it with my son, and I used it for me. Simple, no cost, very, very simple. Sit in there, let the sun drown in on me through the window, doesn't matter whether it's winter, summer, whatever. And just use that little breathing mindfulness technique to keep me in the present and to give myself a pep talk that says, you know what, you're going to be okay, just one step at a time. It's going to be all right. And that's sometimes all you need to do. Now, setting boundaries is a critical aspect of preventing burnout. It creates a buffer between your inner fire and external pressures, helping you manage your energy and time more effectively. If you are experiencing burnout at work, then setting a boundary around checking emails is super simple. If your work email account and your personal email account are linked on your phone, then unlink them and turn off notifications on your work email. It can make an enormous difference. If you are experiencing burnout at home or personally, a really good one I recommend is the digital detox. Designate specific times to disconnect from screens and social media, or better still, disconnect for a block of time. It almost sounds too simple to be true, but let me tell you, it's bloody amazing. People often say to me that I post a lot on social media. I do, that's a business model. But seriously, I don't post them myself and I have no notifications on, which is why if you comment sometimes, I'm a bit late in replying, but that's a boundary for me. I jump on each day at work for a small amount of time and that's it, I don't check it. Achieving a balance between the intensity of your inner fire and taking breaks is essential. Breaks, whether short or long, can help prevent your inner fire from sizzling out. Balancing the flames is about knowing when to stoke your fire and when to take a step back. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, our inner fire starts to dwindle. That's the what the fuck is going on, right? Rekindling it involves self-compassion and revisiting your passions. So self-compassion is that part that is going to be able to become aware that something's not right. And rather than lash out at others or yourself, it's about checking in with yourself and saying, what do you need? So I've said it before to you guys, it's the way you would treat or speak to somebody else. We would often very rarely speak to ourselves or speak to somebody else the way we speak to ourselves. So rekindling the fire does involve your self-compassion and knowing what you love. So think back to what used to ignite your passion in the first place. What activities or interests brought you joy and excitement? Revisiting these memories can help rekindle your enthusiasm to make doing something that you love a priority. I had a client recently, she'll know who I'm talking about if she's listening, love you, but she, had lost, there's a lot going on in her life, and she had lost one of the really beautiful things that she did, which was crafting. Now, I don't get crafting. I don't have the patience for it. But for her, it was something that she rekindled to a memory. When I said to her, what did you used to do? What did you love doing? And she said, that's what I said, make the time for it. Start prioritizing that. Make it a half an hour each day if you have to. Do whatever you need to do to prioritize that little part of your life. And the extra feeling of well-being she got from being able to detach from the stress in her life into something that required nothing other than for her to show up and enjoy it, that's key for well-being. Right? It can't change your circumstances, but it can certainly change how you feel in it, and that will help you show up differently. So it's about setting new goals, prioritizing them, and finding fresh inspiration to reignite those flames of enthusiasm. So, practical tips. Well, you may already know them. I've given you a few, but start small. Dedicating a small amount of time each day or week to your passion, even just 15 minutes, can make a difference. Sometimes your passion can involve or branch out into related interests. Try exploring new aspects of what you love or loved that you haven't delved into before. All right, now that start small is really important, because often if we look at why something isn't achieved for somebody, it's been unrealistic in the expectation. It's either been they've bitten off too big a chunk, or they haven't had the capacity to do exactly what they wanted to do. So just start it small. Secondly, join a community. Like, connecting with like-minded souls who share your passion can be just the inspiration you need to get started. There's other people that love the same thing that you do. Try and find them out. Even if that can also encompass the start small. If you sign up for a group or something that you can do to get back involved with something you love, then that might just be all the time you need. You'll still have to prioritize it, and you would most likely need to schedule it, but that's what you do. Now, then you make it routine. You need to incorporate it into your daily or weekly routine. Consistency helps maintain the new action. Make it a priority, put it in your diary, and don't give that up for any sucker. I've sometimes said to my kids, I'm going to do this task. And you know, for me, sometimes it might be a work task that I just want to get done because I'm excited. I'm working on a new project. I am super excited about it. And so I will go in there and, you know, part of that is a bit of a passion to reignite fire. And I'll shut the door and say to my kids, unless you're burning, do not knock on the door. If you have lost a limb, then you can knock on the door. But otherwise, I don't want to hear from you. Now, self-care needs to be practiced and then consistently implemented. It shouldn't feel like self-care. It should feel like it's simply a part of your life. This is how the fires stay alight on a consistent burn, rather than burning out of control or then nearly going out, right? It's the consistency that helps you maintain the fire. Now, we have a free self-care challenge up on the website at HQ. Some of you may have done it, but I'll give you a tip. Do it again. If you haven't done it, sign up. It's free. It asks for your email. If you are listening to this, you're probably a client of mine. I've got your email anyway. But if you're not, don't stress about giving me an email. I'm not going to bombard you. It doesn't go anywhere else. It's simply 30 days of self-care tips. It has elements of all of the above sent to you daily. All the info for this will be in the show notes, so don't forget to check it out if you are interested before you leave today. Now, you know I love a story, so I'd love to hear from you about your experiences with burnout and any strategies that you've found effective for keeping your inner fires alive. So don't hesitate to reach out and share your stories with us. You can either privately DM me on our social media, or you can send me emails, which I'm happy to say heaps of you have been doing. I absolutely love them. You can send me an email with your story. I love listening to the stories. They're great. And why I'm always interested in someone's story is because a problem shared helps everybody. Right? If it's appropriate, we'll share them on our social media platforms anonymously. But before anyone does that, we always ask permission. So you don't need to, but I'd never put anyone's name up there. So don't stress, peeps. We are all in this together, and sharing experiences and solutions can be incredibly helpful. So that's it for today's episode. Your inner fire is worth protecting. Until next time, keep the flames alive. Bye. Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate and review this show. Your feedback goes a long way in assisting others to discover this info. So help me continue to help more people by providing your input. And while you're at it, don't stop there. Share this podcast with your friends, family, and on your social media. Don't forget to tag me at @vvincytherapist. Also, I love hearing your feedback and takeaways, so DM me. My inbox is always open. If you're interested in hearing more about the Me, Myself and I Mastery Program 2.0, I'm currently putting the final touches on it. The waitlist is open, so when all will be revealed, you will be the first to know all the deets, and by being on the waitlist, you get access to a significant discount as well. So if you are at all interested, put yourself on the waitlist. It really is a high touch, high impact experience, and to ensure that it remains that way, I cap participant numbers. More info in the show notes. Thanks again. Have a good one.